From Wall Street to your street and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
On the heels of the debate, how might the election outcome affect Wall Street and your portfolio? We'll talk with Paul Christopher of Wells Fargo Investment Institute in a moment.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Amid the presidential debates, Wells Fargo Investment Institute has released its guide to the 2016 elections. It's an extensive look at the policies that the two candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, are proposing and how they could affect the economy and the nation as a whole. The report also advises investors on how to prepare their portfolios for the election. Joining us to talk about this is Paul Christopher, head global market strategist at Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Paul, before we get to one key aspect of this report, I need to ask you this. What did you think of last night's debate? It seemed pretty acrimonious from the get-go as the two clashed on pretty much everything.
Yes, I was expecting that. I think many people were expecting that. What I found interesting was that I think I'd give maybe the first 30 minutes to Trump. Mrs. Clinton seemed a little bit overly prepared in those first 30 minutes and had trouble really making strong points. But I'd definitely give the rest of the debate to Mrs. Clinton, as she seemed to be laying traps for him to push his hot buttons and then let him show his lack of diplomacy in some cases, and that was very telling as the debate went on.
Do you think either Trump or Clinton laid out a coherent vision for the future, or was the evening dominated by sniping and intense criticism?
I think Mrs. Clinton did a better job laying out her plan or her vision than Mr. Trump did. On the other hand, though, I think he was effective in criticizing the plan as maybe not being very good for the economy, as it requires, her plan requires quite a bit of government intervention, new programs, new entitlements, new taxes. All of these things create uncertainties for businesses, especially small businesses, and that uncertainty is part of what's holding back economic growth right now and to some extent wages. So in a sense, having a more detailed plan is not necessarily an advantage in this case.
But do you think Trump got any advantage because he is uncertainty with a capital U?
Yes, that's certainly true, and I was very alarmed, actually, in the first 30 minutes. I understand now in retrospect that he was trying to attack Mrs. Clinton for her position on trade, but what he came out sounding like was someone who's very anti-trade, and his talk about the Chinese currency being devalued as maybe an attempt to take jobs away from the United States is totally off base. It's factually inaccurate. So that uncertainty with a capital U, yes, definitely came through very strongly in that particular debate tactic in the first 30 minutes from the side of Mr. Trump. So I'd say overall, both candidates left me feeling as an investor a little bit nervous about the things that they proposed, or in the case of Mr. Trump, really wanted to focus on the trade piece.
And we'll be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Paul Vigna. If you do not subscribe to the Money Beat podcast, you are going to feel worse than a short seller on the day of a big rally. Go to iTunes and WSJ.com/podcasts. You want to sign up for this one.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously. Now, back to the show.
I'm speaking with Paul Christopher of Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Paul, the new Wells Fargo report looked at four potential election outcomes and the impact the outcomes might have on financial markets and investor portfolios. Why don't you get into those outcomes right now?
Right. Thank you for asking that, because if you just watch the debates, you could, as an investor, come away with some, as I mentioned, some feelings of insecurity and perhaps uncertainty about how these various proposals from the two sides might affect your portfolio. What we're able to get into more in the report is a more complete picture, which we think is a little bit less negative and a little bit less uncertain, mainly because the elections, of course, are not just about the presidential election. They're also about congressional elections. And as we look at the Congress, we see a very slim chance that the Democrats will be able to take House control away from the Republicans. We do think that it's more or less a 50-50 call in the Senate whether the Republicans or Democrats will gain the majority or retain the majority in that House. But one way or another, we think the chances of a divided Congress or at least a division between Congress and the President, that division is very, very likely to emerge in January. And with that division, we're going to have, we think, more divided government. And then some of the proposals that we heard last night in the debates might have a lot of trouble getting through or might not even make it at all.
Well, let's get into it. You have one outcome being the most likely, really, a Democrat president, a divided Congress, and the expected market impact is neutral and the probability of occurring is 40%.
Right. So in that particular case, we think Mrs. Clinton wins the White House, but maybe the Republicans can hold the Senate, or even if not, we think they hold the House. And at that point, with the House controlling the purse strings, we think it will be difficult for Mrs. Clinton to advance a lot of that very detailed program I mentioned before, especially insofar as creating new programs and new entitlements for the economy. In that particular event, we would expect the deficits to be maybe to go up by less, to widen by less. We think over time the tax policy will be more of a compromise, and we think the new entitlements will also be watered down or in some compromise form, and that will be positive for the markets overall. In the particulars, we do expect that the Republicans and the Democrats will get together on some form of an infrastructure program. We think that will help technology and financial sectors, and we think that as they negotiate some way to repatriate foreign earnings, that will also help multinational consumer staples and pharmaceutical firms, as well as technology firms that have a lot of money currently residing overseas.
Paul, the next most likely outcome is a Republican president, a divided Congress. The expected market impact is slightly negative, and the probability of occurring is 30%.
Right. So if Mr. Trump wins the White House, one thing that concerns us is that Republicans in the House may feel some pressure from voters who voted in Mr. Trump into the White House. The Republicans may feel some pressure to enact some of Mr. Trump's ideas. And we think that his tax cuts, while they could be positive for the economy and the markets in the short run, will eventually widen the deficit by quite a bit, especially where he means to do a lot of infrastructure and defense spending. And that combination of high spending and tax cuts could give us a big increase in the debt and the deficit, much as we saw in the Reagan years of the 1980s. And so in that case, we would look for a shorter term, maybe 1 or 2 year positive impact on the economy and the markets. And then following those 1 or 2 years, perhaps the deficits widen and becomes more negative for stocks, for bonds, and for the value of the dollar. On the other hand, if we want to get a little bit more particular, the compromises on spending and the compromise on taxes could help rein in some of that negativity in the shorter term, again, as I mentioned, the first 2 years, in which case there might be opportunities for investors to take advantage of the new spending in infrastructure and defense and favor materials companies, industrials, the defense companies, and those in construction.
And the next outcome you have listed, Paul, the third one, is a Democratic president, a Republican Congress, I guess controlling both branches, the House and the Senate. The expected market impact is slightly positive, but the probability of occurring only 10%.
Right. We think it's unlikely that if Mrs. Clinton wins the White House that the Republicans will keep the Senate. But if that should happen, then we would have a more even balance of power between the Republicans and the Democrats. And in that case, we think there'd be further watering down of Mrs. Clinton's proposals, some of which she mentioned last night. And that would be let's say, more positive for markets going forward in a general sense, stocks, bonds, and the value of the dollar. We would also look for the trade picture to be a little bit more neutral, and that would be positive for the markets. And in particular, we would look for a more constructive trade outlook to favor industrials, agriculture, financials, consumer staples, and large pharmaceuticals we think will benefit the most. And then on the from the impact of the positive impact of reduced spending or reduced deficit widening, we think that the benefits there will accrue mainly to companies in the materials and industrial sector, and from the infrastructure spending, of course, and then a tax deal that promotes earnings repatriation should benefit information technology, financial sectors, and the multinational consumer staples and pharmaceuticals.
And the fourth and final outcome, Paul, that Wells Fargo Investment Institute has listed is a Republican president, a Republican Congress. The expected market impact is negative, and the probability of occurring is 20%.
In this particular scenario, we assume that Mr. Trump not only wins the White House, but does so with a mandate strong enough for the Republicans to sweep into to a larger majority, or perhaps even just maintain their current majority in the Senate and in the House. In that situation, we're afraid that the mandate that Mr. Trump might take with him would put Republicans all across Congress in under pressure to enact some of Mr. Trump's ideas, bigger tax cuts, bigger spending programs, which again might be positive in the short term for companies in the, let's say, in the materials and the construction and industrials. But over the longer term, we think will be negative for the broader market. If they could get a repatriation deal done for earnings abroad, again, that would tend to help the multinational consumer staples, pharmaceuticals, firms, or sectors there. Of course, the biggest potential negative is through trade, where now the Republicans, the free trade Republicans in Congress might have to run for cover a bit and try to renegotiate NAFTA. Yeah. It would kill the Trans-Pacific Partnership. There's also a deal in the works with the Europeans. That would probably be killed. If they impose sanctions on China, then we would probably see reprisals from China and other countries, Mexico possibly also, and then we would begin to see trade get hurt, and that would be damaging, we think, for consumer staples, for agriculture, which account for a majority of U.S. exports.
Now, regardless of the outcomes, Paul, is there anything or any couple of things that you would suggest that investors do with their portfolios, sort of an overall general strategy?
Mm-hmm. Well, in all four of the scenarios, we do believe that infrastructure spending will be a likely outcome in this new government, and we believe that that sort of spending will eventually benefit, as I mentioned, the materials, industrials, and construction companies and industries across the country. But it's going to be key for all investors to watch to see how quickly the policy results start to materialize. They may take a while, in which case we think investors would do better for now, and let's say especially between now and the early part of next year, to really just focus on the economy and focus on their long-term investment plans, but to be ready in the event that some of these programs and policies do start to fall into place. We think our recommendations in those cases will serve investors well if and when those policies become more likely.
Paul Christopher, Head Global Market Strategist at Wells Fargo Investment Institute, thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Thank you.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.